Hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
How are you today?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing great. On today's episode here, we've got Steven from Fork Bomber and a host of other places like MacGasm and stuff like that. But I only care about Fork Bomber. How you doing, Steven?
I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm good. I would like I'm you to redact good. That statement,
Pat. I'm joking.
God, Mike's on staff now,
yeah,
so
you redact it right now, or I'm walking out.
He may be in charge here, but I'm his boss there. So
I care because I don't keep up with enough Mac news sites. So I should only keep up with one, just MacGasm, right?
Exactly.
And that's the message we want to tell all of our listeners, right?
Yep.
They can ignore all those other ones.
It's all the best news, all the best insight with a bit of comedy, yeah, and a lot of Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really good stuff. How are you, Steven?
I'm good. Just finished eating lunch, had some barbecue, and
had
some tea.
Some sweet tea? And,
some sweet tea with a little bit of lemonade in it.
Oh yeah, a little Arnie Palmer action there.
That's right. So I did that, and I stole someone's workshop here at work to record in. So,
all right,
good, as long as they don't show back up.
So before we get into this whole podcast thing, you're in Memphis there. You got some good barbecue there. You got some seriously good barbecue. First of all, what did you have today? From where? What barbecue?
I went to Central Barbecue.
Okay.
And I had a pork sandwich with slaw on the sandwich.
Nice.
Because you don't want your slaw on the side. You want it all mixed in.
Right.
And I generally, because I'm at work, and then it would be messy, I generally do an open face sandwich.
Okay, yeah.
And it really hit the spot.
So is this a traditional kind of Memphis dry rub, or you putting sauce on that puppy?
This was wet, so
okay, all right.
I prefer it wet personally.
All right, okay. Gosh, you don't get the same barbecue up here. I mean, obviously, it's a bunch of Norwegians and Swedes and Finns. You're not going to really get good barbecue at all, right? That's not true. We've got a couple of good places, but it's all we import people to make good barbecue. Actually, the best place here is a place called Baker's Ribs, and it's a couple from Texas that they do their smoking on site. And it's this little tiny place in the middle of a strip mall that you would never know has the best barbecue in Minnesota, but they do. But gosh, I miss me some good barbecue from Memphis. Memphis is also home to the Elvi.
That's true.
Yep.
There's more than one of them.
Well, there actually is now that the original one is gone. There are countless Elvi, and Graceland and all that good stuff, as well as one of my favorite Memphis things, the Sun Studio tour. Love Sun Studio. If you really want to learn about the history of music in Memphis, that's the tour you want to go to. Skip Graceland, skip all that stuff. Go to Sun Studios, and that's where you'll actually learn history the way it should be taught. So, in any case, I digress. I heard that you took the plunge and got yourself, what you affectionately called before the podcast, a Rhone special edition model. MacBook Air 64 gig.
I did, and got a little money in, and just kind of decided to pull the trigger. And it's a fantastic little machine. It really is.
Yeah. I absolutely love mine. So, I mean, are you driving that kind of as your main machine, or is it kind of a portable machine to go along with your desktop?
It is it's a portable machine. I've got a iMac at home, and I have a MacBook Pro as well from work. But I really wanted to leave it at work, so I didn't bring work home with me.
Yeah, good idea.
So this is a purely personal machine.
Nice. Okay, so Well, you know, that means that we've got to do the kind of series that started a little while back with, you know, Brett Kelly has done it and Ben Brooks, so you're in good company. And that is enough for.
Do we need a jingle?
We, you know, we really should find a jingle.
Should I work on that? Let me work on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think the next time we do an enough for, we should have a we should have an enough for jingle.
Let's not say the next time.
Okay, because that puts a lot of pressure on Michael, doesn't it?
That puts a deadline.
Okay,
and I don't like that.
But we'll try to get a jingle for this. I think that's a good idea.
But how do you do a minimal jingle? Is it just like two notes and that's
something just clicks? That's all it is. It's
like, yeah.
Was that a jingle or did somebody drop their microphone?
Just a little, just a half a second of silence.
So, tell me, Stephen. Mm-hmm. You got this 11-inch air. You didn't keep it lean and mean, right? You know, because you don't have a lot of space to work with. What do you need? What do you need in a portable machine to get your job done? What do you have installed on this thing?
Well, kind of how I went about it. I bought it on Friday, and just as the weekend progressed, installed things as I came across my need, instead of like just starting with what I thought I would start with. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what we believe in.
Yep. So I've got Dropbox, which is just a fantastic service that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. I have iWork O9, but just Keynote and Pages. I have no need for numbers.
Okay.
I've got Mars Edit. Everything I write on Fork Bomber, and most of what I write on MacGasm, it starts life within Mars Edit. It's a great little app.
Okay.
And the reason I went with it, you know, that's a little redundant to what WordPress does online, but the WordPress interface is just terrible.
That's being kind.
Well, you guys don't need an explicit tag on this. So I also have I've got Word and Excel for the odd time I get something that iWork really doesn't like, but no PowerPoint, no Outlook, none of the other junk.
All right. Okay.
And then rounding it out would be OmniFocus, which is my life is within that purple icon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as of about an hour ago, Skype.
Ah, well, see, there you go, because you need a Skype.
I'm sorry, we
muted it. Yeah.
I know.
Now, that said, you know, is Skype something that you need to have? Because you needed Skype to kind of do this, because that's the way that we do things, and maybe you don't do that the same way for, you know, for other things. You know, is it the sort of thing where it's like, okay, well, I'll install it because I need it, and then maybe, you know, delete it when I'm done, especially because Skype is a free, downloadable, you know, sort of thing?
I think it will probably stick around. Okay. Josh and I use it to record MacGasm weekly, and so it was going to be on there eventually.
Gotcha. So. Just hadn't gotten to it yet.
Exactly.
So that's actually keeping it pretty lean. How much space do you have on that sucker, do you know? Like, after all that stuff is installed and... You know, I'm sure you got your mail and all that other stuff.
Right. I've got 46 gigabytes free.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Now, I'm running a version of OS X that is coming out this fall.
Yep.
if anyone's heard of that. So I really don't know how big Lion is compared to Snow Leopard. I need to look at that. But
Yeah. Or is it been referred to online, redacted. I love that.
That's right. Yeah. And it runs real, real well on this little machine.
Yeah. I had heard rumors and statements to the effect that Lion really kind of screamed on this hardware, like even more so than Snow Leopard. The Snow Leopard was good, but, you know, but Lion was just going to, you know, was going to really scream.
You know, I'm looking at you now, Pat.
What? Huh?
I see.
What?
Nothing.
have you found that to be true in your officially beta testing, not able to break your NDA experience?
Yes.
Okay.
is that
That's a sufficient answer. That's a yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm very comfortable with that answer, and hopefully Mr. Jobs is as well. So
he doesn't listen. I can assure you the fact that he doesn't listen, so I think we're okay.
Come on. Come on. Of course he
does. I asked him, and he said no.
Apple Legal's a little tied up this week.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, they've got patents to defend. So are you pretty happy with the machines thus far? What are your kind of general thoughts? And
I think it's the best built Mac I've ever owned. I did, worked for Apple and ran a service business for 2 years and have been inside just tons of Macs, and it's really impressive the way it's built, just how sturdy it is. But I love it. I love the screen resolution being the same as the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. So it's, things are, maybe a tad on the small side on the screen, but definitely not causing any problem. It's nice to be able to have so much on a screen that's physically so small. But it's extremely impressive.
Being a person who is used to or has experience with digging around and opening up and sort of getting dirty inside the machines, what do you feel about, you practically can't really do anything with a MacBook Air? If you wanted to put more RAM in it, you would have serious troubles, and you can't really upgrade the solid state drive yourself either, really, unless you've got a lot of guts or a lot of money.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where I would be upset if it was that way on the MacBook Pro, but on a machine this small and this light, I'm willing to make that sacrifice, it's not a big deal. I kind of view it as an iPad. I'm not going to crack my iPad open and add more memory to it either. So,
well, I think that's an interesting. Why do you think that is? I mean, because it is a Mac, but you're taking an iPad point of view, and is that what do you think is driving that?
I think it's the size. I was telling my wife last night that that the MacBook Air was technically more impressive to me than the iPad for some reason. Mm. Just what they're doing with it and how thin it is. The iPad, it kind of makes sense that they could do that because they could do that in an iPhone years before the iPad came along.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a Mac this thin is kind of a new thing. So I don't know. I don't know if that fully explains it, but I think it's definitely part of it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Because I find myself kind of feeling the same way, but can't necessarily put my finger on why. Because, let's be honest, it's a Mac. It's no different from a general operating perspective with, RAM, hard drive, motherboard, screen, keyboard. From a MacBook Pro. And like you said, the only difference is the size and the thinness and that sort of thing. But, even with that being said, as a geek, one of the original reasons why I purchased my old black MacBook, now that, now departed. But one of the things I loved about that series and that model of the MacBooks was not only how easy it was to replace the RAM, but how easy it was to replace the hard drive. They specifically made it so that the hard drive was, in effect, user replaceable and user upgradable, just like the RAM, right? As a matter of fact, it's the only machine that Apple has really ever done that with. To my memory, I'm trying to think back through my history. To think, someone's going to call me on this. But no, I think that was the first and only model of Mac where they made the hard drive basically a user serviceable part.
Right. Well, at least in the notebooks,
Yeah.
The towers are a different story.
Yeah, obviously. And that's, right. But in their portable line, right?
Right.
And,
yeah. I wrote this thing a couple years ago called the appliance mentality, about how Apple and consumers view computers, and you know, that was a huge deal when the first Macintosh launched, that Steve didn't want people like rummaging around inside of it to make it work. And I feel like
right.
MacBook Air is the epitome of that in this kind of modern era.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe because we're doing so much of our computing on devices like iPhones and iPads now, that we kind of see computers more as just a replaceable commodity as opposed to an upgradable commodity? Because I know for me, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of geeks now, especially Apple fans, that we spend so much time on our iPhones and our iPads and consider them as full computers, that we kind of just that sort of feeling goes upwards.
I think so. At least for the low end user or the kind of the average user. I think when you get into the high end, it's a little bit different. Uh-huh. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, if my iPad got hit by a bus, I would just go replace it, because that's all. Part of that is because that's all I can do.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't rebuild it. Mm-hmm. It kind of forces me into viewing it as just something to replace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how much do you think the price point plays into that? Like maybe the fact that, especially with the 11-inch Air, maybe under $1,000 is something that you just don't even think twice about, replacing should you need to. Whereas, kind of over that amount or, around that general area, you tend to think of it less so. And you tend to expect more ability to save money and, by doing some things yourself, as it were.
Right. I mean, it's just like cars. I mean, I drove a whole line of just terrible cars in high school and college, and I had one catch fire while I was driving down the street. And so I got into the habit of, when a car had an expensive repair, just sell it and buy something else. So,
yeah.
And now a little bit older with kids, it's like, well, that's fine up to a certain point, but it's about that investment and the return you get from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. So before we let you go here on this topic, let's talk just a little bit about about the work that you're doing and get some plugs in. So you're over at what's your title at MacASM? Your head cheese? Principal head cheese?
Josh is the dark overlord.
The dark overlord.
I guess I'm the
Theta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that would make Josh kind of more the emperor, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that's interesting. And maybe you're Lord Vader.
Maybe, yeah. Josh is editor in chief, and then I'm the news editor. So, kind of making sure that we get stories up and people spell things correctly, and kind of juggling a bunch of people who give it their time.
And to make sure the English people speak in American
terms and phrases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what did I? You got to Google a phrase, but. Yes, I'm doing that, and it's been a lot of fun.
All right. And then you've got your own site, which, is just, especially this last week, has become increasingly well-noticed. You had a guest post that got fireballed.
I did.
For God's sakes.
I've been writing for 4 years, and this guy's first guest post. Noticed by Gruber.
That's got a sting, man.
You know what? It does a little bit, the ego part of me, but I was excited for him, and
yeah.
It's good. It's good for the site as well. So
yeah. So that's Fork Bomber. Now tell me, where you got to explain the name, man. I've been wondering about this for a long time.
The name. So a fork bomb is a. Basically code you can run on any computer that kind of puts the CPU into neutral and then stomps on the gas. So it kind of can lock up your machine.
Ah, okay.
It spawns new things. And the guy who wrote the guest post, Kevin, actually owned the domain, and I bought it from him for some pizza. It's a true story, because I thought it was catchy, and it was in 2008 where it was really cool to leave out the last vowel before the R. So that's the name, and definitely purchased it for pizza. So.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, whereas, you know, MacGasm is certainly more of a, you know, Mac news and general interest, and, you know, you talk about apps and review apps and, you know, and Mac news, you know, all that stuff. You know, you tend to do a lot more, you know, personal posts, introspective posts on Fork Bomber. Not everything is, you know, Apple technology all the time. You know, it very much is kind of a personal site with a, you know, certainly an Apple and technology bent, because that's what you're into, but,
right.
And, you know, actually I think,
yeah. And that's, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think the personal angle of that peeks out every now and then gives readers some real insight into where, you know, who you are and who's writing this and where you're coming from.
And that's all new. If you look back in the archives, it was a ton of news and stuff in the past. And I kind of got to a point where it was like, I don't want Fork Bomber to be a news site. I don't think people are reading it for that. And since I've kind of made that switch to editorial, and even more recently, writing some more personal things on it, I've enjoyed it so much more. And yeah. I think the readers have too. But to me, that's secondary. It's more what I want it to be now than it used to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
proud of her.
Really, really great stuff, and I highly recommend people check it out. You know, to wrap this up, that's where people can find you, right? The Fork Bomber, MacGasm, yeah. On Twitter, you're IMSH at IMSH. Did I get that right?
ISMH.
ISMH. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll have, you know, links to all this stuff in the show notes, which I eventually do get up. I have to get better at that.
Need to do, Pat, is subscribe in your favorite RSS reader, and you get them all as soon as the show's released. How about that?
That's correct.
So make sure you subscribe, and they're always there.
That's right. If you subscribe, you'll always get the show notes way ahead of the time I actually post them on the show notes page. Well, thanks a lot for joining us for this, Stephen. And
thank you, guys.
And Mike, thank you. And
thank you.
We'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.
See you.